Morning. Today we celebrate a wonderful feast of two saints, two apostles, Peter and Paul. You know, we can fantasize sometimes, or we can be really idealistic and say that Peter and Paul were great buddies. And anytime they would see each other on the street, they'd greet each other. Hey, Peter, hey, Paul, you know, and they give each other all of this stuff. But that's not the way it was at all. So they really didn't like each other. They really had a hard time even being around each other. Now, Peter, we can understand that he distrusted Paul, because before Paul became a Christian, he was exactly the opposite. He was a persecutor of Christians. He held the coats of the people who stoned Stephen. He had a letter from the temple in Jerusalem to go and to persecute and bring back Christians for trial. And then he was miraculously converted. He was on the road to do that. So when he went to the apostles, all they knew about him is that he was a persecutor of Christians. So the apostles, the disciples of Christ, really had a hard time with him. Now Peter, of course, we know that he was a disciple. We know by the readings today that our Lord held him in esteem and wanted him to be the leader of the disciples after his death, to keep them together and to keep them going. However, Peter had some weaknesses too. Even though Paul persecuted Christians and rejected Christ, we know that Peter also rejected Christ, that he denied Christ three times. Okay, so Peter was this person of, was a passionate person. You know, after he said that he would defend Jesus to the death, and after he said that, you know, I love you, Lord, and Jesus told him, feed my sheep, and all of these things, and on this rock I will build my church, and he denied him three times, as did the rest of the apostles, the disciples. Now, Paul, on the other hand, was a Pharisee, very well educated in Hebrew, in Greek, in Latin, very well read. Okay, so he was a very, very vigilant man. He was waiting for the Christ, and he was a very strict Jew. Okay, but he didn't recognize Christ immediately. And the passion of his religion and his faith, it says, wanted him to persecute the Christians. He thought that they were hurting his faith. But they weren't. They were fulfilling his faith. Okay, now we have two leaders. Two leaders. And we know how we say too many cooks ruin the soup or something like that. Or too many chiefs and not enough Indians. So we know that two leaders is problematic. And both of them were leadership material. Both of them were chosen by Christ. Both of them were given the apostolic authority to go and to make all nations. But Peter had limitations. Peter had limitations because he was a Jew. Now, Paul was a Jew too, but Peter was just a Jew. He was someone who was familiar with the area around Jerusalem in the Middle East, but he didn't know the rest of the world, whereas Paul was one to be sent out to the rest of the world. Paul was the one who was educated. Paul was also a Roman citizen, because at that time, anybody could buy citizenship. He was a Roman citizen, and that gave him very special privileges. So he was needed, and Jesus called him even from his persecutors, to go out into the world. But why was it that Peter and Paul didn't get along? Well, yes, they were leaders. But you can imagine Peter saying, you know, I just spent 3 years with Jesus. We went all over the place. I gave up my family. I gave up my children. I gave up my wife. I gave up everything, my boat, my fishing career, and all the gear that goes with it, to follow Jesus. Okay, now all of a sudden, this guy Paul shows up. Okay, he's unmarried. He's had money, came from a wealthy family, he's well educated, he's a Roman citizen, and now all of a sudden, he becomes a shining light in Christianity. So we see this jealousy going on. Now, we can imagine that Paul probably saw Peter as an ignorant fisherman. He wasn't well educated. He didn't have the things that Paul had. Okay, but still, they were Christians, still they were faithful, and still they were believers. Sometimes we like to think idealistically that everybody was all lovey-dovey in the early centuries, and that everybody was holy and saintly in the first century. Says, well, they may have been holy, but they weren't that saintly because they were arguing constantly with each other. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. They were arguing. Everybody wanted to put their 2 cents in. And it was the same with Peter and Paul. And they had disagreements, serious disagreements. And when they left each other and they were separated on their 2 ministries, Paul going to the west, to the Greeks and the Romans, and Peter in Antioch and in the Middle East. Well, what happened? Says, well, they were separated, and they went and they did their own thing. And that's what God wanted them to do. He wanted them to do their own thing. So he separated them, and they both did wonderful things and miraculous things for the church, even though they didn't get along. Now, we're told that in the late days of Peter's life, he was taken to Rome to be executed, to be martyred. And there he met Peter, who was under house arrest in Rome, also waiting to be executed. And they made amends. And they embraced each other. It was in this humility of martyrdom that they could let their egos go. It was in the humility of old age that they could embrace each other in love and forgive each other. And this is a common icon that we see of Peter and Paul in embrace. The common icon that shows them embracing and showing love to each other and forgiving each other. It says this is what our faith is about. Now, we're human beings, just as they are human beings. We have egos, just like they had egos. And our egos is what separates us from each other. Our egos is what keeps us apart. Our egos is what makes us criticize others. Our egos is what makes us want to gossip about others. My friends, somebody said that money is the source of all evil. But no, it says ego is the source of all sin. Any sin that you can imagine. It says if you really work it down, it says you'll see it is dependent upon and its roots is in ego. And this was the button that Satan pushed in the Garden of Eden. It was ego. It was the button that Satan continues to push throughout time. You know, as a mechanic, we used to say, says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Satan realizes that our ego is our Achilles heel. Our ego will get us every single time. Our ego will lead us into sin. Our ego will lead us astray. And that's the button he keeps pushing. That's the button that he pushed on Peter and Paul. That's the button that caused them to have hard feelings towards each other. I don't know. I can't say that they hated each other, but I can say that they really did not like each other. They couldn't be in the same place until they overcame their egos. You know, sometimes the older we get, age helps to humble us. Because when we're younger, we think of how smart we are and how good we are and how we can do this and how we can do that. And we have no limitations. But the older we get, then we start realizing, you know, I'm not as good as I thought I was. Or, you know, this is not right. Now, there are some people whose ego will probably not diminish ever. But we're not talking about architects now. We're talking about regular people. My friend, is be careful and know that Satan is always there. He has a hook in every single one of us. And that hook is our own ego. If we can't learn to humble ourselves, and if we can't learn to overcome this, then we will fall continually into sin. Okay? And this is the sin that Jesus forgives us of, but it's also the sin that we have to work toward. This is our life, is to realize that it's not about us. What does he say? Jesus taught us everything that he taught us. All of his instructions was teaching us, it's not about you. He says, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Lower yourself. Lower your expectations. Give to your neighbor. He says, this is the one flaw of humanity that Satan really and truly uses. So control your ego. Know that this is not about you. Life is not about you. It's not about me. It's about humanity. It's about the church. It's about all of us together in love, working to continue Christ's ministry. And we can't do that if our egos are so strong that it separates us from each other. My friends, ego should be left here, right now. I know it's not a switch that you can turn off, because ego comes in so many different ways. It manifests itself in so many different ways. But we have to always be careful. And when our ego trips us up, and when out of ego we go and we say something to someone else that we don't really mean, or we realize that it was out of our ego, then run to that person, don't walk, and ask for forgiveness. So that's what we are as Christians. And embrace that person as Peter and Paul embraced, and forgive each other, so that you can be brothers and sisters in Christ the way Christ wants us. Don't wait till the day of our martyrdom to decide that, gee, I wish I would have forgiven that person, or I wish that person would forgive me. It says, run and do it now. Don't wait. And we too will follow the examples of Peter and Paul. Not only the example of their ego, but also the example of their reconciliation and their forgiveness of each other.